Welcome to this edition of the God is Your Life broadcast. This is Reverend Mark Slay inviting you to join me for the next few minutes as we get into the Word of God. Deuteronomy 30:20 tells us to love the Lord your God, obey His voice, and to hold tight to Him, for this is your life. I'll be back in a few minutes, but for now, let's listen as I teach from the Word. Thirty, sixty, and 100-fold. That means at one point in your life, you're really only at 30. Another point, you might only be at 60-fold. In other words, of where you should be in the plan of God. But eventually, you'll get to 100-fold in your maturity, in your life, and in your walk with Jesus Christ. And that's what he's after. Now, let's go down further. And he was saying to him, a lamp is not brought to be put under a basket, is it? Is it not brought to be put under a lampstand? Nothing hidden except what's going to be revealed. Nor has anything been in secret that it won't come to light. If anybody has ears to hear, let him listen. Now, verse 26. And he was saying, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed into the soil. And he goes to bed at night and gets up by day. And the seed sprouts and grows. Notice that. And grows. How? He himself doesn't know. The soil produces crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. Now notice, Jesus implies in both of those, or all three, 26, 27, 28, a process. He casts seed in the soil, and you just keep doing it, getting up, go to bed, coming to church, going to bed, reading your word, doing all those things. And how it grows, you yourself don't even know. But it does grow. And the soil produces a crop by itself. First the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. You notice he said over and over and over, process, 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 growth. Nobody is snap perfect. Everybody grows in these things. He said, then when the crop permits, they put in the sickle and the harvest. Well, we're towards the harvest now. We're getting to the end of time. Jesus is coming. Now, there are places and people, and this is why the Lord said the things that he said. If you go to Hebrews chapter 5, there are things that can happen that can keep you from growing if you let it. Notice we read there that you could stop planting the seed. That would be one way. You could just lose interest. He said that they have a desire for other things. Well, man, I want to go to the clubs. Well, okay. You know, people have asked me, and I've said this to people before. You know, if you made a mistake and you went to the club and you knew you shouldn't have been there, then forget it. Just don't go back. But if you want to persist in that, then realize that you cannot, like the chimp that's got his hand in the jar and trying to pull that banana out of the jar. You're going to have to let go of the banana to get your hand out of the jar. As long as you want to keep hanging on to that banana, you're not going to get out of the jar. But if you let it go, your hand will slip right out and you can go on with the Lord. But I want to hang on to that banana. I got my mind on that banana. Forget the banana. God's got bunches of bananas. He's got bananas trees for you if you'll just serve Him. Hebrews chapter 5, Paul begins to talk to the people about the fact that they could not grow. And in fact, to the Hebrew Christians, that's who he's writing to, the Jewish Christians, the Jews that became Christians, he's telling them, you haven't grown like you should have. Look at verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, and he doesn't mean ministry teachers, he means teaching others. All of us can teach somebody else what we know. Doesn't mean you're called to the office of a teacher, but you could teach somebody something about Jesus. By this time, you ought to be teachers. You have need again for somebody to teach you the basic principles of the oracles of God, and you've come to need milk again and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the words of righteousness, for he's an infant or a baby. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Now notice he implies practice, process. He talks about how by this time, in other words, a time has elapsed and they really didn't do what they should have done. By this time you should be teaching others, but we still have to spoon feed you the milk. Do you see that? There is a timeline that God gives us and he wants us to grow on that timeline, and we can either just not grow at the rate that he wants us to, or we could just not grow at all. In fact, what's interesting, in this same book of Hebrews, Paul writing to the Jewish Christians, he was telling them that, I know you guys are suffering a lot of persecution, because folks, we think we suffer persecution. You have no idea what it was like to claim Jesus as the Messiah in the Jewish culture. It was a tremendous disdain. You were so snubbed. You were so persecuted because you believed this man of Galilee could actually be God in the flesh, like he said. I mean, if you abandoned your Judaism because they all thought that that was it, and of course it was it, but they didn't understand their own religion. God had a Messiah planned. And so when you abandoned Judaism, they thought, to accept Jesus, you went through some stuff, my friends. I mean, when you get saved and you're the first person saved in your family, I mean, really saved? Because you hear all kinds of definitions of Christians. I mean, you know, what'd you do this Sunday? Oh, well, you know, I got up and played golf. Well, you're not really the kind of Christian we're talking about. You hear me? Go on, fool yourself the rest of your life, but you're not what we're talking about. But if you really become a turned-on, full gospel, God-inspired Christian, somebody's going to get mad at you. Somebody is going to sooner or later say, oh, you and this holier-than-thou stuff, it's going to happen. You don't think you're holier-than-thou, but just by virtue of saying, I'm not doing that anymore, sorry, you guys can just act like crazy people at Thanksgiving, but I'm not going to be a part of that. You're going to face it. It's just the way it is. Well, the Jews were suffering tremendous persecution, and Paul just flat told them, if you guys give up your Christianity because of the heat being turned up on you, realize what you're doing. And in the sixth chapter, he tells them a little bit about what will happen. Verse 4. He says, for in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers, notice that, have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God, and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, completely that is, it's impossible to renew them again to repentance. In other words, if you ever lost out with God, you could never regain with God. He's just saying that this is possible. Most Hebrew he was writing to, this was not their case, but yet he's letting them know the potential of that case. That you can, of one time, walk with God, been partakers of the heavenly gift, of the Holy Spirit, of the good word of God, and all these things, and then have fallen away from God and just given up on it. He said, it's impossible to get them to be Christians again. They'll be lost. It's impossible to renew them again to repentance because they've crucified the Son of God to themselves and put him to an open shame. Now look at verse 7. If case anybody doubted what he just told him, Paul uses a parable. He says, the ground that drinks the rain that falls on it and brings forth fruit or vegetation useful for those for whose sake it was tilled, they receive a blessing. Notice, bring forth fruit. But if that crop, we could say, yields thorns and thistles, and it could, it's worthless and close to being cursed, and it ends up being burned. Now notice he's talking about those that once knew the truth, but yet now they're wind up being burned. You don't think Paul just all of a sudden was talking about forsaking Jesus Christ and then went off talking about farming, do you? No. He's using the farming as an illustrative principle about what will happen to the one that forsakes the Lord if they once knew him. Now, in the 10th chapter, he said something else. Now, notice Paul's writing to his Hebrew brothers and he's trying to tell them, hang on, guys, don't give up because Satan makes it rough for you. 26th verse of that 10th chapter of Hebrews. For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth. In other words, they know what they're saying. Not a mistake. They're not under pressure and they made a mistake. Because sometimes Satan will mount up on the flesh and he'll say, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do that. And they make a mistake and the flesh overwhelms them. But he's talking about if they just decide of their own volition, I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go back into the world. Well, Paul said, if you go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins for you, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of fire that consumes the adversaries. Anybody who set aside the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much severe punishment do you think he'll deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood, that is of Jesus, of the covenant by which he was, notice that past tense, was sanctified, and has insulted the Holy Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I'll repay, and again, the Lord will judge his people. Notice, not the world, his people. Verse 31, it's a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Notice he thought about those that once knew the Lord and turned back. Now look at 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2, we'll start with, maybe verse 20. For if after they have escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Son of God. Now notice this. If after they have escaped the defilements of the world. How? By coming to know Jesus. That's how you escape it. You come to know Jesus. You turn your back on that stuff. He says, if they've escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they again become entangled in them. Now look, and are overcome. You know, there are Christians who said, well, I'm going back into the world, and then they go back into the world and they think, what was I thinking? This ain't for me. I don't belong here. And then they get back into church. The sensible ones do. The unsensible ones go on sinning willfully and wind up losing out with God altogether. But notice what he's talking about here. And are overcome by the devil. He says, the last state for them has become worse than the first. For it would be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn away from, now look at that, turn away from the holy commandment that was handed to them. It happened to them according to the proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow or a pig after washing returns to wallowing in the mire. Now notice what wallowing in the mire is. Going back to the world. Going back into the things of the world. That is equated in Scripture to laying around in a pig pen with the hogs. Do you know the world out there drinking and clubbing and doing all their, you know, all their crazy stuff they do? Do you think for 1 second they know when they're drinking and hooping and hollering and drugging that they're wallowing pigs in the mud? If you try to go tell them they're pigs in the mud, that there's a cleaner way to live, that God will bring you up higher, they don't believe it. They don't know about it. They have no frame of reference to compare it to because that's all they've ever known. Nobody ever told them that that's not the way to live because everywhere they look, their buddies are living that way. How many of you were like me? You grew up and everywhere you looked, everybody, people were doing stuff that was wrong and you thought that was normal. That's correct. It's a rhetorical question. Please don't raise your hand. We don't want to know who you are. Just to trust.
I hope you enjoyed today's message. The title of the message is Christian Growth is a Process. If you'd like a copy, you can look us up on the web at mrcstl.org or marksslay.org. That's marksslay.org. Or you can call our office at 314-965-8488. 314-965-8488. Until next time, this is Reverend Mark Slay reminding you that God is your life. Oh,